Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Joshua Sherrard, who's the President and CEO of Strategic Navigators, and we'll be discussing his brand new upcoming book called Navigate, Strategically Applying the Tax Code to Reduce Entrepreneurs' Tax Burden by 40 to 60% while creating tax-free wealth. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
Hey, so I always love when you take a look at these titles of books and, you know, wow, when you can reduce and strategically and increase tax-free wealth, there are some zinger keywords in there. So I'm excited to learn about what you do, how you do it. And then as the concept for the book unfolds, I think this is going to be so impactful for people. So give us a little bit of your background, your entrepreneurial journey up to this point in your career.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I've always had a business sense to me. When I was 12 years old, I looked at the Girl Scouts and they were selling cookies door to door, and I figured they were making money, so I thought I would make money that way. And I made $8,000 as a 12-year-old selling cookies. And, you know, that was my first, and it was all me just kind of going door to door, and I even baked them. But at the end of the day, I've always been business-minded. I've had a background in ministry as well, and I've done a lot there in the nonprofit sector. But I've worked with businesses all across the world and have been involved in a number of different areas, and just had a real passion for, you know, the inflow and outflow and making a profit and seeing success. And so, you know, my background has taken me into different places, but more recently coaching businesses and helping them specifically with their taxes.
Yeah, and you know, I think that you can go to our trusty friend Google and go, I am a business owner, help me with my taxes, or whatever search you do, and you can find all kinds of information. But what is it about your background that inspired you to become that financial expert at one point? Because at some point with your background in ministry and nonprofits, you know, that wasn't necessarily working with business owners. What was your inspiration to get into financial services?
Well, you know, I rub shoulders with a lot of business owners, some very, very wealthy families in the country, and began to ask the question, what is your biggest pain point? And every time, all day long, they would say it was taxes. And so I went on a journey, and this is about 2012, 2014. I went on a journey to just really seek out what are the strategies that wealthy families are using, because you hear it all the time. You know, wealthy families will come out and say they're paying, you know, 17% in tax, or the wealthy are not paying as much. And it's not that they're doing something immoral or unethical or illegal. They simply have the resources to understand the more than 80,000 pages of tax code statutes and regs that we have. And so I decided that I would interact with some of these professionals and some of the people on their teams. And I learned it, and I realized, hey, we can apply this to the small and middle guy too, and they can start to see some of these benefits. So really with that passion, wanted to help people in the business world, kind of the smaller middle business owner, just move from a place of, hey, I've got a successful business, but how do I take it to the next level of significance?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And it's, you know, you hear that a lot in business where this issue or this opportunity pops up. And when it happens over and over, you're like, okay, that's that tap on the shoulder. I need to look closer at that. And that's what happened with you. And so you get into financial services. What do you feel the point was when you became a financial services representative? And then what was the line that you got your 10,000 hours of expertise where now, okay, been there, done that, worked with this many businesses, I've educated myself. What were some of the things that you would say you really did to learn the intricacies of strategically navigating that tax code?
You know, I always say it's best to be the dumbest guy in the room. And so I put myself in the room with tax attorneys, with CPAs, some of the best in the country, and learned from them. And it was when I started to understand, and really kind of the aha moment, working with some of these very, very lucrative families. We're talking transfers of over $100 million. And then you realize, okay, the tax code doesn't discriminate. It doesn't just apply to the uber wealthy. It applies to everyone. And so really we had that moment of, okay, we can package this, we can take these strategies. And I had several people around me, and I still continue to rely on the professionals that have, you know, 25, 30 years of experience. I even have one guy on my team, he teaches tax law, and he's in his 70s, he's been doing this for 45 plus years. And, you know, so you've got the deep bench, and I feel like I'm kind of the conductor of the symphony. And so while I understand it and I can communicate it, and those are my gifts, really have the experts even beyond me on the team, so I don't have to have the alphabet soup after my name. They have it. And so we have a great team that we have together as a group.
Well, I like your example of being the dumbest guy in the room, but I would also submit that if you put dot, 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 you would add to that statement and say, but with the desire to be curious and learn and improve and grow, because, boy, when you surround yourself with those kinds of people on your team, you're going to pick up and learn some nuances. And then you still don't say, okay, now that I know all this, I'm going to do it all. No, you have a working knowledge of all of these aspects, but you keep those people on the team so that the highest and best use of your time is focused in staying in your lane. And then you bring in these team members. I think that becomes really one of the definitions of that full service, knowing you're serving your clients to the fullest.
Yeah, 100%. And from our perspective at this point, while we don't call ourselves a family office per se, we offer family office services. And again, family offices are going to be for the uber wealthy. You know, you need to pay $500,000 just to be admitted into one of these. But we bring those services to the small and middle business owner, and they're getting the same kind of care, if not even better.
Yeah. Well, before we dive into some of the meatier details of some of the things that you are working with your clients, can you think of a lesson that you learned throughout your career, maybe even earlier on, that still you hang on to and you can kind of look back and go, boy, this is one of the pillars of things that we do in our business that I learned back in the day, and it just proves itself over and over and over again to be successful?
Yeah, you know, I think it's so important to, I tend to be conservative by nature, and it's important not to push the envelope, you know, especially when you're working in the tax world. You want to be a law-abiding citizen, you want to be careful, and there's so many people out there that really they abuse what's available, and you don't want to be associated with those, but rather want to be of the utmost integrity and make sure that everything that you're doing can be vetted, can be analyzed, and you know, I kind of invite the analysis because we know what we're doing has that utmost integrity. And I think that has stuck with me throughout the years. Just, hey, we're always going to make sure that we dot the I's, cross the T's, and do what's right.
Yeah, you know, I think that is one of those foundational lessons that I think that most people should have. But the problem is you have exhibited that, you've maintained that. And the problem is a lot of people just let it slip here, let it slip there, let's cut this corner. But when you're talking about tax code, you can't cut corners. And to your point, you know, the 50, 60, 80,000, you know, page tax code, you don't know all the intricacies, but if you start cutting known corners, you're going to get in trouble. And I think that is something that, you know, business owners will really, really be pleased to know that that's one of your top pillar pieces of, you know, true north. We will always do the right thing and for the client as well as according to the tax code. I think that's a really huge thing that carries over to personal life, professional life as well. So let's kind of talk a little bit now, diving into what Strategic Navigators does to serve your entrepreneurs, because of course, obviously in many facets, but the title of your book, Navigate, and then you work with your clients to help them navigate in strategically applying the tax code to get specific benefits. Yes, reducing tax burden, but also creating tax-free wealth. Talk a little bit about some of the approaches you start with initially on strategically applying the tax code.
Yeah, you know, one of the basic things that we find is people are going to their local CPA, or maybe the group or the individual that started their business for them or filed their LLC, and they're just going back year after year. And oftentimes they are outgrowing that CPA or that tax preparer. And not only are they outgrowing that tax preparer, but they're outgrowing the structure. So somebody, when they start a business, they may be a sole proprietor or they may start with an LLC, and they don't understand the values of, hey, make that a selection and start to perform your business operations more of the corporation now than just as that one man shop or one woman shop. And so at the end of the day, one of the very basic things that we do is we analyze the structure, because there's so many things that can be done from a tax code perspective out of the structure. And so that's where we start. We kind of analyze and we build a structure that's going to be the most effective for that type of business. And again, focus on cash flow and bottom line.
You know, I love certain words that when I am listening to people, they jump out, and the word structure just is one of those resonating words to me. It also makes me feel like foundation. You know, when you think about a house, you need to have a solid foundation, solid structure to build on, because you can have the Taj Mahal built on the sand and all of a sudden now one day it's not going to be standing. So having that solid foundation and structure, I love how you start there. It's not the glitzy, we're going to do this move and that move and do this, you know, type of strategy. It's let's start with the basics, like in football, blocking and tackling. So what are some of the things that you're going to watch for at first with making sure that the foundation is there and that it's a solid structure?
Yeah, you know, one of those basic things, again, is that people are focused. They're either going to an attorney for that protection from liability, and so they'll set up an LLC. Or they're going to a CPA, and the CPA may look at them and say, hey, you're not big enough for X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, what I like to do with my clients is, rather than just say, hey, where are you at today or where have you been, I want to look in the windshield. I want to look at where you're going, not in the rearview mirror. I don't want to look necessarily where you've come from. That helps for context. But as we look at where you're going, some of the structure that we apply, we will use an S corporation structure. We will use a C corporation structure. We use multi-corporation structures, just like the big ones do. I mean, you look at GE, you look at Microsoft, you look at how Google's set up, you look at some of these big companies, they don't just have one corporation. They have multiple arms, and all those arms have a very dynamic relationship with one another. And again, this is coming out of the tax code and it's coming out of legal structure. And so what we do is we build a very elegant structure for our clients that doesn't take away from what they've already done. We're simply adding some things that may help them. We're going to enhance it. We're going to make sure to preserve the integrity of what they've already done, but then take them to where they can go and save more on taxes. We're going to start using strategies out of that S corporation, out of that C corporation, that are going to help them to get money to their bottom line and be more profitable overall.
I love it. Yeah. So let's, one of the things that you talk about and teach is taxes are a business owner's greatest enemy. I think that if someone were to read that, they'd nod their head and say, yeah, but kind of elaborate on that. How big of an enemy are taxes for the big business owner?
Well, you know, it's like having a partner, depending at your tax rate. I mean, it could be a 40% partner, and you're looking at your gross revenue. And a lot of people, it's funny, as I interact with clientele, I mean, something as simple as the difference between your gross revenue and your net revenue, some business owners don't understand the difference between the two, because they look at the big number. They look at the gross number and they say, hey, look, I'm making $1 million a year. But then when you crank that out and you look at all their expenses and you look at everything else, and then they're maybe taking home $400,000, but now the government looks at that $400,000 and says, hey, I want half of that.
Yeah.
And so really, the person who thinks they're making $1 million a year is really closer to $200,000 a year that's dropping into their pocket. And the temptation then is to say, hey, I'm living off of $1 million a year and I can drive X, Y, and Z car and do all these other things. But reality is, you've got a silent partner in there who's taking a big chunk of your profit. And what we do as business coaches, as financial help, is we come in and we say, hey, let's make sure you keep as much of that $1 million as you possibly can.
Because it's like the cliche, water going into the bucket with holes. You might not be able to plug up every single hole, but if you can plug up as many as possible, then you keep more of the water, or in this case, money, revenue with you. You don't want to see that outflow into the taxes, because yes, they're inevitable, but there are some wonderful ways that you would recommend to reduce that. So I agree with you. I mean, when you throw out some of those numbers like 40% and you think about, you know, that's off the top. That's like before you pay yourself, before you pay, you know, the staff and pay your bills, you've got a big chunk of money going out in taxes, and then you're left with the rest.
You know, and you've got, you know, some people come to us and they're structured in a C corp and they're structured incorrectly. Maybe they inherited the business that way, and, you know, dad and grandpa or however it was, they just did that. And so now you're paying a corporate tax at 21%. And then you do take your dividend or your salary or whatever it is, and then you're paying income tax on a personal level. So you're paying double tax. I can't tell you how many clients I meet that are, you know, they're very successful businesses, you know, multi-million dollar businesses, and yet they have this horrible double taxation structure to them. So that's one of the things that we correct and fix through other structures and find ways to get the money out to them tax favored or tax free.
Yeah, that's really a great point, because, you know, you're kind of looking at it from a bird's eye view going, hey, you got to pay taxes here, but you're paying double right here because of a structure. If we just make this adjustment, then you're just paying once. And the adjustment is a common adjustment. It's nothing strange. It's all above board. It's all legal. It's all ethical. So the seeing things from an outside perspective, sometimes the entrepreneur or business owner is too close to the forest to see the tree. So I think that's really huge. Talk a little bit about, I think when I hear LLC and S corp and C corp, you know, your head starts to spin and go, I don't even know the differences, but I know that some of them benefit the business owner personally and corporately regarding the structure, but also isn't there benefits and pitfalls to deal with regarding taxes if you're taxed personally and taxed corporately based on the structure?
Yeah, 100%. So the S corporation structure is the more recent design, and the IRS has modified this. It's called a pass-through entity. So, you know, profit that comes in after you have all your expenses out of the business, then the profit passes through to you as a owner through a K-1, and you're just getting that profit. Now, you need to legally set up a proper W-2 and be able to get a payroll, which a lot of business owners will do that, but they don't understand how to take that distribution and to do it effectively. And, you know, there's a lot of opinion out there about what you should and shouldn't do there. One of the things that we teach out of that S corporation is to utilize something called the Eisenhower Rule or the Augusta Rule. And this is something any CPA is going to tell you that they understand what it is, but what they don't understand is they don't know how to apply it within the tax code to benefit a business owner. And so what this code does, it's 280A, and what it does is it tells you that you can rent your home up to 14 days and not pay any income tax on that money. And most of the business owners, entrepreneurs that I work with use their home at some level throughout the year for business, whether it's staff meetings or just working from home or whatever it might be, private meetings, conversations. And so what we do is we analyze the business owner's behavior. We maximize their ability to have the business rent their home from them up to 14 days a year and get that money tax-free. Now, this can be very considerable in many cases. This is why a lot of wealthy families own large homes, and they own them all over the country. And they're getting a lot of tax-free income from those homes and from the use, the business use of those homes. Now, there's a lot that the IRS says you've got to do to be compliant, but it is an avenue to get some money out of that S corporation and get it into your pocket in a tax-favored or tax-free way.
Now, without getting into the weeds or getting into details, it makes me think of the old home office tax deduction, which is very different than what you're mentioning here, because you're talking about an actual transaction between personal and business and renting from. And so that creates something different and new as opposed to just, oh, here's a line item, I'm going to deduct home office expense.
Right. And the home office expense, when we see that on someone's taxes, we say, whoa, let's stop that. Let's not do that. That's a buzz. A button that the IRS loves to push on, because it's very easy to fail in compliance with the home office deduction. And it's highly auditable. And so we tell people not to do that. That's kind of measuring out the space that you use at your home for business. And, you know, here's where the printer is and here's where the desk is and all that kind of thing. No, what we're talking about under the Eisenhower Rule actually applies to the entire home, and it's everything under roof that's livable. It has to, you know, have to qualify. But at the end of the day, it's a much different expense to the S corporation and picked up as income very differently than a simple write-off.
And what I would like to make a comment on here is when you said that the subtitle of your book is strategically applying the tax code, this is not just applying the tax code. This is strategically applying the tax code. That's where that nuance comes in. And it seems like every time I hear someone mentioning the tax code, one day it's 50,000, one day it's 70,000, 80,000. And it's not because these people are wrong. It's because the tax code grows all the time and changes. How are we as lay people supposed to keep up with that? We can't. So I think that this one little, pause and pinpoint here with this Eisenhower rule is a really great example of maximizing your, deductions the right way, your write-offs the right way, and strategically using it. So anything else that you'd like to add into, like maybe another idea about like the Eisenhower rule, what would something else be that would be into this category?
Well, again, this is more of a practice. One of the things that CPAs hate to do is they hate to come to you as a business owner and say, hey, Mr. Business Owner, you've got to write a big check because you didn't pay enough along the way, and now you've got to, pay a big check. So the IRS requires that you pay what's called an estimated tax payment. That's on a quarterly basis as a business owner, as an S corporation, you pay that in. And what ends up happening is a lot of business owners overpay that amount. And oftentimes a CPA will build into their estimates a larger amount than's necessary. And what a lot of business owners don't catch is that the IRS is holding on to their money longer than they need to and potentially rolling it over from year to year. I had one client, it was over $800,000 that was rolling from year to year that the IRS was simply holding on to, saying, oh, maybe I will owe this next year.
Yeah.
And they didn't, and it happened again, and it happened again.
Wow.
And when I confronted the CPA on it, again, it's not that I don't like CPAs, but I confronted the CPA because this is a lot of money. The interest on $800,000 is a lot of money. And he said, well, this way I don't have to ask them to write another check. And,
wow.
At the end of the day, if I looked at the business owner and said, if you could have $800,000 in your operating account or as profit to you, what would you prefer? And hands down, every time, the answer is, I want the money. And so...
Yes.
Basically, again, from our attorneys and our CPAs on our team, and what we advise is we try to be, again, very strategic on how much you're paying on those quarterly payments and when you're paying it and how you're doing that, because you don't want to let the government hold your money any longer than they need to.
Yeah, that's really a huge, huge opportunity, and I don't care if it's $800,000 or $80,000. Or 8,000. If it's my money, I want my money. I'd rather write a check for 5 to 10 and know that I had my money where I wanted it to be. So that's, again, another interesting idea. I would love to have been a fly on the wall when you brought that to your client's attention and retrieved $800,000 back for him or her, because wow, that's now a new set of eyes that you brought to look for. Not that anyone, obviously the CPA was not doing anything wrong, but they could have been doing something a little bit better for the client.
Right, right. So the timing of tax payments is so critical, not having that double taxation we talked about earlier, just using things like the Eisenhower rule or others, and that way you're telling that silent partner, hey, we want you to have a little bit less.
Yeah.
We want you to have what's legally required, but we're not going to be foolish about just offering up before we can do everything that we can within this code to maximize it for the profitability. Because why did we get into business in the first place? We got into business to make money.
Yep.
And whatever's driving that or what your values are behind that, you've got to do that in the best way possible and steward it as best as you can.
Well, I love that you use the phrase silent partner, because I always love when you can bring a business concept and illustrate it with like an example story kind of a thing. Well, a lot of business people would understand like, I'm going to bring in a partner or I'm going to bring in a silent partner, which means they're going to, in simplistic terms, they're going to give me a bunch of money, but they're not going to be in my day to day. They're just going to be there. And if something big comes up, they're going to, step in and give some advice, but we're going to give them a portion of our profits. Well, you would never bring your cousin, brother, uncle, best friend in as a silent partner, giving them 30, 40%. But we do that with Uncle Sam and the government, and that's what you're talking about. So I think that's really an aha for some people to realize that silent partner that we all, are forced to have, that's fine to have it because we might need it and might be forced to have it, but we don't want to pay them a dime more than what we should.
Right. And that's where I can't tell you how many clients I've come across where they say, I've been looking. I have the sense that there's a better way to do this. I've been looking for who you go to, and they don't know where to find it. And that's where I feel like, you know, we come in, and I'm really passionate about helping people find that extra money. I call it found money, right? It's money that they've been giving away. One of the comments I hear most often from my clients is, man, I wish I met you 10 years ago, because they're doing the quick math. Hey, you just saved me $100,000 in taxes. Man, that's $1 million over 10 years. What would I be able to do with that? You know?
Yep. Well, it's like the story about, wow, it's a hot day. I wish we had some shade from a tree and had a tree planted 20 years ago so we would have it here. Well, the second best time to plant one is right now. So, okay, you might have been able to, you know, in the past, but today I saved you $100,000 and let's continue that. So at least now we know we can move forward. What do you find are some of the misconceptions or myths that some of the entrepreneurs and business owners have out there with some of these things we've talked about, like applying the tax code, or, well, that would work for me because, what are some of the misconceptions and myths that you could bring to their attention and they go, oh, and we've talked a few, but any other ones that come to mind?
Yeah, you know, I think a big one is it doesn't apply to me. And people think that their personal situation, either they've been told by a professional in their circle or maybe a friend at a barbecue or whatever it is, and they're like, oh, that's cool, but that's for the really, really, really successful people. Well, guess what? If you're making over $135,000, which is not in the business world when you're a business owner, that's not a high threshold. But if you're making over $135,000, you're in the top 10% of people making money in the country. You know, and that's a high threshold. And so when you look at that and say, yeah, there's things that can work for you. I've helped people that are making $50,000 a year. And just to be able to say, hey, that guy, you know, he may not be a client that's going to make me a lot of money at the end of the day, but if I can help him, because that guy's going to go from 50 to 200 real quick.
Yeah.
If I can help him maximize that 50. And so really it's not shortchanging yourself. So number one, it doesn't apply to me. Another quick, you know, misconception that a lot of people have is that these things are, you know, done in a way that's shady or is risky or anything like that. One of the things that I pride myself on, and within our company, we're very, very proud about this, is everything we're going to do is going to be compliant. We are going to go out of our way to be compliant with the IRS and make sure that we're not putting our clients in harm's way. And so we're going to make sure that when we recommend a strategy or a structure or anything like that, that we've looked at as much as we can to make a sound recommendation, and it's going to bring success. And, you know, it's not something that needs to be feared. It's something that you need to go into with a type of courage and boldness.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people would think that, like, oh, I heard that word before, you know, whatever, you know, shelter or tax shelter or offshore. And guess what? There's bad, you know, there's the pro and con of any one thing. So don't just take it at face value. When you hear a certain word like life insurance, don't cringe. Maybe let's hear the full story and see how it could apply. When you hear shelter, whatever the case is. And I think that's a really important point to bring up. What about, in my mind, I would think that there's some fears like, okay, that sounds good. You can put a bunch of numbers on paper and show me a forecast and a report, but what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work the way you're thinking or saying, you know, yeah, it's legal and all that, I'm fine with it, but what if it doesn't work? Would that be a fear that people have as well?
Yeah, that is. And I can tell you that when I first started, that was a little more challenging, just to, hey, well, I know this works and I know, you know, a handful of families that I've learned this from or whatever it might be. But now we have thousands of clients, and I personally utilize almost every strategy that we have. And I can tell you that it works, not just from my personal experience, but I can tell you that, you know, I can probably in your area tell you that I've got 4, 5, 10 clients that are doing this, and they will tell you, man, I wish I had done this before. So as far as, hey, does it work? You know, I mean, it's the proof is in the pudding. And the thing I love about how we work with our clients is, and I just sent an email out this morning to a group, you know, they're going to save, between the four of them, they're going to save over $500,000 of taxes, their partners. And to look at it and say, I can do that for you now in 2022, and then it's going to be that way every year beyond, I mean, it's almost a no-brainer.
You know, I think an interesting observation with saving X number of dollars in taxes, like in this case, $500,000, that's, you know, in a cold hard, you know, cold hard cash. That's pure money. As opposed to, hey, I'm Joshua Sherrard and I can show you how to increase your revenues by 500,000. Well, that's a lot of work. A. B, when you increase revenues by 500,000, now there's expenses and effort and taxes involved. So really my net on 500 is much less. You're saying, hey, partners, you guys are doing all the blood, sweat, and tears to work to get all kinds of revenues. What if I've reduced your taxes by 500,000? That's pure money going back into your back pocket or your profits or your bottom line. That's a big differentiator than let me just show you how to make some more money.
Exactly. And I refer to it as found money. It's people ask me what I do. I sell money, basically. I mean, I'm showing you how to save. And, you know, some of my background, just I like cost savings. I really do. I'm one of those guys that's going to go out and find a deal. If you talk to my social circle, they'll tell you that I'm the negotiator because I know what something's worth.
Oh, you're that guy.
I'm that guy. Yeah, I'm the guy people call when they want to go buy a car because they want me to come along with it. So at the end of the day, I love the results and I love those conversations with clients and how is it working for you? And oh my gosh, my cash flow is so much higher and I'm in a much better place. And I have consistently watched the business owners that I work with grow because business owners are like a plant, right? If you give the plant enough water and sunshine, it's going to grow. If you give a business owner enough money and opportunity, they're going to grow. And that's essentially what we do.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of shift gears and go over back to your, your tagline, reducing entrepreneurs' tax burden by 40 to 60%. That's what we've been talking about. Well, if you can do that and access that found money, what do you do with it? Well, you're going to show them how to create tax-free wealth. And that kind of ties into now, you know, shifting gears into tax rates and the life of the 1%. You know, you hear the news headlines of people like, we don't pay taxes or we pay so little. How do the top 1% operate? How do they take this found money and then turn it into, like what you're saying here, tax-free wealth?
You know, and again, it's if they have access to dynamic strategies and to those people that are going to be able to help them with these things. And that's what we do. We, without prejudice, bring those strategies to everyone. And, you know, for the people in the 1%, you know, they're assuming a tax rate of 37 on the federal side. And then you add on whatever your state is. I remember somebody I was working with in California, their last dollar, they were paying 62% to the government. I mean, he came to me and he said, Josh, I'm depressed. I don't want to grow my business anymore because I'm giving away more than I'm keeping.
Yeah, I'm getting 38 cents.
Exactly. And I said, I totally understand that. We helped him go from 62 down to 17. And I mean, talk about a massive swing back in the right direction. You know, people in that category, when they don't do the right tax planning, they may, you know, I work with a lot of people in the real estate world, and everyone in the real estate world at some point as they were growing was told, hey, create your taxes account, right? A savings account where you're just socking away money that you can pay your tax bill with, because again, that silent partner is going to come and want to do that. And again, I love the conversation with these high-end realtors and say, what if you got to keep that account? And what if you could take that now and let it grow in such a way that all the earnings inside of it are never going to be taxed? And I introduced them to a concept that I call the rich man Roth. And the rich man Roth, everybody knows what a Roth is. You put money into it after tax dollars, and then it grows tax-free, and you can access the money tax-free. And what we do is we create something called the rich man Roth that doesn't have the same limitations as a Roth does. It's a completely different vehicle, but it works that way, where you put the money in after tax, or in my case, tax favored or tax free, and then you never pay tax on it again. And that's under code section 7702 from the IRS. And what that says is that anything in the insurance world is going to be tax free if you do it right. And again, compliance is very critical here. But a lot of these wealthy families are using these insurance vehicles to protect their wealth. And it goes all the way back to Joseph Kennedy, believe it or not, JFK's father, who helped to influence the writing of the code and some of the things that happened there, and basically create these envelopes where wealthy folks, anybody actually, can take advantage of insurance and be able to grow your wealth tax-free. And so we create these savings accounts for our clients in the Rich Man Roth that is absolutely tax-free, and they never pay tax on it again.
And then is that you led into that point by saying like having a quote unquote savings account to be ready to pay your taxes. So is that something where in this rich man Roth concept, you're putting money in throughout the year so that when tax time comes, if you need to write a check for X, you've got it into this special account and you pull it out and pay the taxes because we need to, but also throughout the year, it's been there accumulating, interest and growth.
It is, but if they're working with me, they don't need to pay much in the tax bill either, right?
Yeah, well, there's that.
They just get to keep this money, and now we're talking about a retirement income stream. We're talking about a legacy. We're talking about a whole new paradigm of holding on to your wealth and being able to double it down. You hear that phrase, you need money to make money, right? And the rich man Roth is a vehicle that can act as a platform to then be able to take it and say, hey, I want to go do this real estate deal, or I want to go do this Bitcoin thing, or I want to go do this fill in the blank. And now the rich man Roth is the anchor investment that's allowing you to do all those things because you have the safeties. We get rid of all the taxes, we scrub out the fees in a pretty dynamic way, and we get rid of any losses or volatility. So I like to say those are the enemies of your wealth, and we're able to really break those things down so that you can have that uninterrupted compounding interest.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you put money in consistently for 6 months and then stop doing it for 6 months and then did it for two, then it's interrupted. And then now you look at that, compounding interest and it's really stunted. But the feeling of having that uninterrupted compound interest that over time, now this is not a, let's do this for 6 months or 9 months, but over time that then would really tie into that wealth building strategy. So I like those word pictures. Talk a little bit about the assumed tax rate for the top 1%. How does that tie into some of your strategies?
Again, I look at my clientele and, I had a client who was making, this is a larger client, $6 million a year and paying roughly 2.5 in taxes, and we got them down to 1.5 in taxes. So we saved them $1 million, but the assumed tax rate is that they're going to pay that 2.5. And so now you've got this found money of $1 million in this situation. And what do you do with that? And again, most of the wealthy families at that level know how to do these things, and they know how to take that $1 million and put it into something like a rich man Roth and totally transform the future. Because now that $1 million that they're used to writing a check for anyway is now going to radically change their overall estate position. And, whether it now has to play a role for estate taxes, and we can help with that as well, or whether it's being funneled into nonprofits and working on a legacy piece or whatever it might be, we're coming alongside, looking at the global picture and saying, let's not assume that you have to pay this 37, 62, 40, whatever your percentage is. Let's look at it, analyze it, give you a fresh picture, and now what are we going to do with that extra money?
Yeah, I think to your point, like in that example of $1 million of found money, it's not like, oh, thanks, Josh. We now can put food on the table. They were getting ready to pay that $1 million in taxes anyway. It was gone. Now it's like, okay, well, our lifestyle doesn't change, but why don't we, go ahead and put this to better use by putting into some of these better programs? So I think that's such a powerful way that you position the way you serve your clients. Again, we've been talking about strategically applying the tax code. So, yep, there's the tax code there. Big question mark, big fuzzy gray, area that nobody really knows how to deal with it. You guys do. You bring a team in to help people understand how to strategically apply it to the business, reducing tax burden. I love 40% to 60%. We've been talking about big numbers, $500,000, million, but even people making much less or much less revenues, a 40% to 60% tax burden reduction is pretty substantial, no matter what level you're at. And then what do you do with that found money? We then put it to good use, creating some tax-free wealth strategies. So I think that that's such a neat way to wrap that up and put it in a nice, pretty bow and serve your clients with. Any final thoughts that you would like to make on kind of the tax rates and what the how the taxes are the biggest enemy of a business owner?
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things is the unknown and the uncertain factor. You know, as politicians walk around there, you know, that one of the guys made a comment. He said, nobody, no business owner I've ever met is saying I'm waiting for the tax rates to go down before I hire more people or before I grow my business, because everybody thinks, nobody I ever meet thinks the tax rates are going down. You know, it's kind of go hurry up and build your business because they're just going to go up. And so the reality is, if you better position yourself today, you're going to be able to be ahead of the curve. You know, there is a lot happening in the economy with the recession and with other things that are going on. I can tell you, Mike, my business is booming because everyone understands taxes are going up and the cost is getting harder. So I would just say, you know, for the business owner, taxes being your greatest enemy, it's really bad when your enemy moves around and you don't know how to combat them. And that's what's going on with the tax code.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting correlation there. So if anyone listening to this would like to have Joshua and his team kind of give a over the shoulder look at your business, your numbers, your foundation, Joshua, what's the best way people can reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, you know, I encourage people to go to our website, stratnavinc.com. They can see some material on there, understand a little bit of who we are. And we always do a complimentary analysis and consultation. And so would love to be able to help people. And that's what we're passionate about doing.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure talking with you today.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.